Dennis, what school are you from, Ben?
Copper Beach.
Copper Beach, okay. You know the name Arnold Jacobs? Okay, you could Google this man. He was a tuba player in the Chicago Symphony, and I was lucky enough to take a couple of lessons with Mr. Jacobs back in the 1990s. He used to say, match your qualities. So what that means is that we want to find a way to make the best quality sound in the easiest register of the instrument. And you take the easiest stuff and make it sound twice as good. Then you extend that to other ranges, other dynamics, adding technique and speed and so forth. But always listening for the very best quality you can get. So why don't we start? I know that this is a really advanced group, and I'm kind of humbled to be here, so that's cool. But as brass players, we all know that we are always going back to square one. And if you hear something that you've heard many times before, and it makes you think, oh yeah, let me try that in a different way, then that can be really beneficial, even if the information itself is not new. So let's start. Oh, I'm going to use my toy here. This is my Bluetooth speaker, and I'm going to put on quarter note equals 60, and we're just going to do some breathing. So just right for now, would you all put your instruments in a place where they won't get stepped on, but that you're free? Let's see if I can get this to work here. 60... Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is one that I like because slow motion breathing encourages us to use the full capacity and not to gulp and hold. So it's going to be air in constant motion. What I'll do is say ready and then we'll breathe in for 3 beats and then starting with a da out for 4 beats. Okay? So my turn first. Ready. And. Right? So, what you're noticing is that the gray sweater area of my body is just moving, like blowing up like a balloon for 3 beats, and then it's just collapsing. I'm not trying to put the air in any particular place on the inhale, just move it past the corners of my mouth with very little work. So, let's all do that together. 3 in, 4 out. Ready? And. Okay, so one important point is open your mouth when you breathe in, and the more silent it is, the better. In other words, I can make a loud noise, right, by making my throat tight. But at this slow pace of air in motion, when I'm doing it with the minimum amount of work, I'm not getting anything in the way of the air, so it's going to sound like this. My turn. Ready, and... And I'm paying attention to the speed of the air. I want it to move at the same speed for 3 beats of inhale and then the same speed for 4 beats of exhale without ever stopping it in between. So now, let's start, and we're going to do 3 beats in, 4 beats out. Then 4 beats in, 4 beats out. 5 beats in, 4 beats out. And we're going to get all the way up to 10. See if you can time it so that you are filling all the way up without stopping the air and that you're moving the air at the same speed throughout. Here we go. Ready? 3. Okay, so we're about to go on to 6. I'll repeat something that the famous tuba player Sam Palladian said in a class that I heard. He said, move air steadily without a hitch, and move your shirt Okay? So I see some people breathing in a little bit of a confidential way. Has anybody here been told not to allow the chest to lift in an inhale? Yeah. That is an excellent singer's breath. And when people come in taking a singer's breath, what that means is they're keeping some part of their torso locked down. So I'll say, okay, great, take a full singer's breath like this. Good, now take in more air. Right? So as brass players, we have access to all of that, and I would encourage you just to move all of the shirt all at once. Now, we're not, of course, raising the shoulders on purpose, but if there were shoulders and a skeleton and a rib cage painted on a balloon and you were blowing the balloon up, this would raise too. Okay? So we're about to go on. We're going to do 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Move your shirt, move the air without a hitch. Ready, and 6. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. Okay, great. Did anyone find it challenging to keep the air moving for 10 beats? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did this at the first thing in the morning warm-up for a place called Rockland Summer Music. This was a long time ago. And I walk around going like, huh, I wonder why my breathing is so free now. So something about slowing that inhale down, it's like taking a wrinkled tablecloth, which is your breathing apparatus, and just ironing it out so it's super smooth. Okay. Now, Mr. Jacobs was expert, among many other things, at taking a fast breath. So now we can do a speed up the inhale exercise. And these are all, I think, on the first page of the, I think there's like some typos on here, but I put the first breathing exercises here in the beginning. Since I'm explaining them, you don't really need to look at them, but you're certainly welcome to use this. Okay. So I'm gonna go rest, and then we're gonna go in 2, 3, 4, da. Our exhales will always be 4 beats, but the inhale will be now 2 beats. And the reason I call it a 4 eighth note breath is because you're still paying attention to subdividing it into 4 parts, okay? As breaths get faster, there is a tendency to want to go, right? But then we're not up to the top of our capacity. And we want to get up, I would call it a 95% breath. The last 5%, you're going to have to use force to get the air in. But to practice breathing above 90% very easily and be very comfortable there, it really reaps dividends, especially as you get older. Okay. So now let's do our speed up the inhale. And those who would like to, let's do a vertical hand breath. So my turn, I'm going to take a 2-beat inhale. Rest, rest. So as Mr. Jacobs would say, put all of your intelligence at the corners of your mouth as you breathe in. You just want maximum suction. All the air in the room is free, and you're just going to suck it right in with minimal friction. So if there's anything in the way, right, then you can get that out of the way. And by putting your hand here, you can feel the air rushing past the corners. When you're exhaling, your brain is the brain of an artist. So here we go. 2 beats in, use a vertical hand if you like, and then 4 beats out on da. Rest, rest. Nine. I'm guessing that some of you didn't quite take in as much air as when we had 10 beats to breathe in. So let's do a few more of these. And you're challenging yourself to really get above 95%. Rest, rest. Rest, rest. Okay. Question.
Is your speed going in the same as going out now?
Oh, definitely not. Right? Because now we're using, you know, full lung capacity over two beats, and we're about to move to one beat. Do any of you ever use a breathing bag? Yeah. So that's another Mr. Jacobs thing. And by the way, Vince Penzarella is the teacher that I spent more time with, and he was a great exponent of the ideas of Arnold Jacobs. He'd studied with Mr. Jacobs after he got in a car accident and could barely play, and he went to Chicago, and then he recuperated well enough to have a huge career in the New York Philharmonic. Sorry. So when I started studying with Vince Penzarella, I bought one of these breathing bags. And so, in answer to your question, if you imagine that you've taken a huge breath and filled up the bag, and then you have one breath, or one beat, right? You're going to empty that bag in one beat, the same amount of time that it took you four beats to put it into the bag. Okay, so we're now going to do, I'll say ready, and... Okay, so in, da. Now, as we get closer to a real-world kind of breath, which is, you know, one beat and sometimes less, the very end of the inhale, which would now be a 16th rest worth of breathing in, is the usual suspect for maybe closing something down, right? So make a virtue out of, I imagine, one of those roller coasters that goes like that, right? Your air is going to go this speed and then this speed, but the speed of the air is the same. It just changes direction. So I'll say ready and then we'll do one beat in, four beats out on top. Ready and. Ready and. Great. Another thing that Mr. Jacobs liked to talk about was minimal motors. He was a student of anatomy. And minimal motors means that the method for doing any particular thing that uses the least work is the correct way to do that thing, right? So I'm guessing that some of you guys can take a one-beat breath and fill all the way up above 90% without quite so much muscles, okay? He would say weakness is your friend when you're breathing. So here's a strong one-beat breath, right? And here's a weak one. Okay. You have to be weak if you're going to take a 16th note breath, right? So you want to use the minimum amount of work and still move the same amount of air. Let's take a couple more one-beat breaths, and then we'll get to the instruments. Ready? And we don't need any explosions as the exhale starts. Ready? And ready, and. Ben, are you breathing up to 95%? Let's do it again. Ready, and. Great, okay. Sometimes this click makes me crazy. So, I am now going to play a whole note concert, F. I like to call it forte plus cantabile, right? So I'm really going to fill the room, but it's not going to be a forceful note. So my turn. Ready? And... So did I move the air at the same speed for four beats on the exhale? Yeah, and how do you know?
The tone stayed the same.
Yeah, what about the tone stayed the same?
Consistent volume and production.
Yeah, okay, great. So we are listening for consistency. And in particular, a lot of you folks are going to use some of these ideas maybe for students, right? If something clicks and you go like, oh, that's a nice way to talk about that. The first thing I get a student to pay attention to is volume, right? And just make a habit of keeping the volume the same. So we want that 4 beats. I'm going to now play some examples of less than consistent volume. Right? I started my air slow on beat 1. I started with an explosion. It was too fast. Slow down at the end, right? So if we just pay attention to the volume over 4 beats and use timing for the inhale as well, we can really achieve a lot just on one note. So let's all play our concert X now, okay? And, you know, let's use a 2-beat, 4-part inhale. Okay. Ready? And in, ball. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to boost up to forte plus. Okay? And we'll do several of these because we still got to get warmed up and it's full on tape. Here we go. Ready? And. Yeah. Okay, that was A-plus quality. The only thing, and when I stand in front of a high school group, very often I will get people starting the note too soft, right? So you got your students, and you encourage them to move the air right on time. What I did notice was a quality that sounded as though the work effort is too high, okay? So I'm going to play forte plus twice. This one's probably louder, but it also has an edge in it, right? And I often explain to my students, let's imagine that there's a really cute flute player sitting right in front of you. You don't want the flute player to go, ew, right? You want them to go, wow, who's that, right? So, so thing one is volume. Did I say we were going to do several, and we did one, and it was fabulous? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do several. But then thing two is low work, right? Minimal motors achieve the same achieve the same end result with less work. Okay. And so my equation is that job number one equals volume. Job number two equals low work equals beauty of tone. So if you can play loudly very easily, then you are making a beautiful sound on your instrument. All right, let's do several more of these. We're playing our concert F all notes. We're taking 2-beat breaths, and we are filling the room just like we did, thinking about how to keep the work effort below, let's say, 3 out of 10. Rest, rest. Baker from the Met horn section says, our bodies respond beautifully to timing. By the way, I'm standing here being a teacher, and the fact is that there are thousands of better trumpet players than me, right? But boy, do I have the benefit of an awful lot of good advice. And some of the teachers I've studied with, you know, if I can make sense of what a lot of them have said, then that it's great for me to be able to turn that into an explanation of something. So I tend to refer to a lot of people when I talk. And it's a way of saying, thank you, pay it forward a little bit, right? So Yeah, I noticed that some of our notes are not starting on time. And the timing should start before the inhale, right? So we were taking timed inhales even before we made a sound. We can practice the timing of the breath on both inhale and exhale away from the horn. Let's do an air pattern. This is a Vince Chikowitz thing, okay? And we will do more of these for sure. I love using air patterns, especially when we get into articulation. So it's gonna be like this, and I'm going to make my chops firm using the corners so that I'm focusing the air right toward the bullseye in the center of my hand. It's gonna be like this. Okay, so exactly on beat one, I'm gonna feel right on my hand. Let's do several of those, okay? Rest, rest. How's the timing? Is it exactly on your hand, exactly on beat one, or is it a little delayed? And I had Steve Norell, the bass bone player from the Met. I was taking a lesson with him, and he said, put your hand in front of my face. And he's from Georgia, like all great bass trombone players are. And he goes, I was like, you do that? Right? Oh, yeah, he was in our quintet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark and I played in the same brass quintet at Juilliard with Steve Norell saying, I just learned this tuba part on the bass trombone. Can we try it? Right. So boom, like a guided missile with a pillow on. Okay, right on time. Two beats rest, two beats in, boom. Rest. Yeah, put a da in front of it. I believe in starting almost all this stuff with a da because every attack we ever do in performance is going to have a da associated with it. Rest, rest. Now, by the way, this is a really good opportunity for you or your students to practice a trick of rolling in the top lip, especially for trumpet players, okay? I've had some very advanced students who had trouble doing ascending slurs or had trouble playing up to high C and above. And if I put them in front of a mirror, very often I'll see that their top lip looks like this. Okay? What do you notice about my top lip? Thick or thin?
Thick.
Yeah, and it's kind of blowing in the breeze like a curtain, right? So, here's an extreme example of rolling your top lip in. Take your finger and roll your top lip so that your finger is touching your teeth, right? Nobody ever plays like that. But I have a terrific colleague named Jerry Bryant who could play anything in college except his range and endurance were only so-so. And somebody told him to do this one time. Right? And he put his lips together and played a double G. He said, oh. Okay? So rolling that top lip in really is a big skill set in terms of being able to do slurs. We're about to do some of those, right? All the lip slurs that we all do. And also to be able to have better range and endurance.
Is that particularly a trumpet thing, do you think? Or does it apply down lower?
I think it's especially a trumpet thing. Mm-hmm. I think that now Steve Norell focuses the air like crazy, mm-hmm. but it's through a very, right, mm-hmm. a very wide aperture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the corners, that mechanism is going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Have you been online to see what guidance Arnold Jacobs has?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I would believe him, not me, when it comes to the tuba.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right? Yeah. But, okay, so a little story. There I was taking a zillion orchestra auditions. I think I was a finalist for 18. And then I would, you know, fly different places and take lessons. And there was one day where I took a lesson with Dick Oldberg, who's third horn in Chicago Symphony. You know, yeah, brilliant guy, amazing player. And he said, I was missing a couple soft attacks, right? He said, I want you to bite down on your sound. I want your sound to be like hardened steel. And then I went and took a lesson with Mr. Jacobs the next day, and it was like, no, open, open, right? And it's like, I came home and I couldn't play. So actually a lot of the thinking I've done about trumpet playing and brass playing since then is how to make it so that they are both right. Okay? And Mr. Jacobs' idea about embouchure is let that take care of itself. You're in charge of the two big things, which is song and wind. Okay, that cute little sheet that I gave you. You know, we're responsible for song, the song in our head, mm-hmm. and the air that the greatest player in the world would use. Okay, and let this train itself. But I need a little hint. Okay, I was not playing efficiently enough, and so the idea of being able to roll this in. Right. As I continue teaching, I like to get students to think about how to focus this at an early stage, because the ability to do that solves a lot of problems. And then it lets you forget about it. Right. That's the goal. Okay. So I got off on a tangent. Oh, by the way, how many? Oh, you have a question. Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever roll in your bottom lip too, like you mentioned, your top lip?
I would say let the bottom lip do what it wants to do. You know, the double C folks, they talk about super chops. That looks like this. Rolled out top lip, rolled in bottom lip. Okay, so rolling in the top lip, rolling in the bottom lip, not so much. Lifting the chin to go up, probably not very useful. So, is what we're looking for. Okay, I got off on a tangent, and I was about to say, how many people would like to play something for me before we go on and do sectional stuff? Anybody want to play and be coached and collaborative? Uh-huh. Cool. All right, so we will definitely make time for that. You want to play?
Sure.
Oh, great. Okay. Oh, fabulous. So why don't we think about those three, those four. Beautiful. Yeah. So I'll allow more than an hour for that. And I'm thinking out loud. It is 3:36, and we end at 5:30. So if we start doing that stuff at 4 o'clock.
Which stuff?
Having people play solos.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I'll abbreviate what we're doing here. Okay. Timing. We weren't starting together. Okay. And then I'm going to do one set of slurs, and then we'll go right to the solo. So. Okay, so Vince Panzarella would say that a proper trumpet attack is a little T and a big ho, and they arrive at exactly the same time. And I would like to obliterate my consonant with my vowel. Okay, very classical. Here we go. So I'll say rest, rest, we'll take a 2-beat inhale. And pay attention to your timing of the inhale, and also the timing right on beat one. Is your volume right where you want it to be? Rest, rest. Good, rest, rest. Good, let's see if we get the same volume with half the work. And when I mean work, I mean that this doesn't crunch, okay? Because often I will say to a student, let's pretend we're doing a karate demonstration, and pretend we're about to punch you in the stomach, and you're going to give a good, right? Just be really tight. And they'll all go, huh, let's do that, huh, right? So this got tight, right? What else got tight? Throat, right. If you push here, you will create an isometric someplace up here. And that just means that you don't have the air in motion, right? It means that you're squeezing without producing sound. So the world's greatest players move the air so freely, and it just sounds like, wow, they're not working at all. That's what we want. So same volume. Let's do about four more of these. Same volume, less work. None of this. all send the air. Rest, rest. So what I'm hearing is a better sound quality, especially the first one was even more in tune, right? Because good sounds find each other. So now let's do, if you wanted to look in your set, as opposed to just playing it by ear, it's on the top of page 3. Five, one, three, one, five, one, five, three, one. Okay? So let's all sing this with numbers. I'll say rest, rest. We'll take a 2-beat breath, and then we'll sing it on pitch using those numbers. Did you get a, you got a set of paper, Ben? You know what? Why don't you go get your horn? Because we're going to be doing some singing and buzzing and play. Okay. All right.
You want to sit next to me? Because you can read the trumpet parts.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to sing using numbers, right? Rest. Rest.
5-1-3-1, 5-1-5-3-1.
Right. Now, based on the idea that the job one is volume, a student will commonly... Right, and a volume meter would show that this was going up and down because they were using slower air and then punching to get the new note to come out. So, of course, a good antidote for that is to make a glissando on the mouthpiece. Right, my volume was essentially the same because I took away all the road bumps in between by doing the glissando. We just sang it once. Let's buzz it now, okay? See if we can keep the pitch constantly moving and the volume the same.
So do you want us to do the gliss also?
Yeah. Yeah, let's all do the gliss. The volume will be the same, and the air will be moving at a constant speed. Is Ben?
Are you a trumpet player?
Emma, Ben.
I have an extra horn if you want to use it.
Okay.
Thank you. Rest. Rest. That one more time. I like what I'm hearing. The idea is to keep the work effort very constant and to keep the air speed and the volume constant. Okay? So somebody said consistent. Consistent is a really good word for this, right? A consistent buzz tone without adding too much work. Rest. Rest. Gets a little bit air packagey, right? So that the right, each one gets its own little burst of air to a small extent, and so let's before we go on to adding some articulation, let's buzz it again with a glissando. This will remove all the temptation for air package. It's just going to be one string, okay? And then we'll come back and use the same kind of air. Let's do both. Rest, rest, buzz, buzz. and the tone quality very consistent. Rest. Sorry. Sorry about that. Everybody's up to speed. Rest. Rest. Right. So if you needed a breath, then great. Take a breath. But could you tell that it wasn't as smooth as the Buzzgliss was in terms of the volume staying absolutely steady? Yeah. So that is a really productive thing to work on. Now, right? The contradiction about adding articulation is that the air feels just like a slur. Okay? It is very tempting to do that with your air. And sometimes I'll have students put their hand on the back of my rib cage, and I'll demonstrate two different ways of doing an articulated passage. You feel it right here. So that's one flow of air, just like a slur, but I've added da, 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 da. And one little extra hint is that every note in the classical style ends with ah, never ut. Da, 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 not dot, dot, dot. Right? When I go dot, closure here, something to push against, right? Da, 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 it's all about flow. So let's do our eighth notes now. Let's do it on the trumpet. Da, 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 da. And we're still listening for a consistent volume and a beautiful round quality, like the very best we've got on those slurs. Rest, rest. Okay, so that is a very fast introduction to how to add articulation, okay? As you begin to go into the upper register, it is super important to get rid of air packages and to make it smooth. So here's my question. Right, the volume and the sound quality stay very much the same. What changes? How do I play four different notes?
The speed of the air.
Arch of your tongue.
Two people said the exact same thing.
At the exact same time.
I would say in general, no. Okay? Because if I want to play a passage that goes from very high to very low and all the way in between, right, I'm not going to be constantly backing off and then hitting it more. You would hear it because my top notes would all of a sudden get hotter and louder. Okay? It is the tongue. Okay? Chops will adjust a little bit. The level of the tongue, that's what changes. Okay? So as we work on these slurs, right? We want to keep the airspeed constant, the quality constant, the volume constant, and then allow the tongue and the chops and the air to work as a team. You could tell that I wasn't muscling that much. It's more of a trick, okay? And the guide the whole time is to keep it smooth and keep the volume the same. All right. I did just want to show you this this Dave Krause thing, and then we're gonna work with our soloist. So Dave Krause plays first trumpet at the Met, And he's 15 years younger than me, and I just finished studying with him for 3 years because I just went and got a BMA. I really learned a lot. Okay? So that was great. He's a great trumpet artist. And what one of Dave's favorite things to say is, pay attention to the last 10% of the note. Right? So I would play... And he'd say, no, smooth. Right? So if we take something rather simple, and by paying attention to the last 10% of the note, make sure that the air is still flying, right? That's another way of saying the same thing. Get rid of those air packages and make it just like one river of air.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
You use that term air package. What do you mean by that?
Air package is an undesirable habit of taking each note and giving it its own little push. Okay? So then we get... one flow of air, right? So if we play very smoothly and pay attention to the last 10% of the note right before the valves or the slide moves, right? Allow the tongue to make a difference, but keep the air going at the same speed. Let's do one passage at a time. And bass clef folks, this is obviously a B flat treble part, but I'm sure you'll be able to translate. We're just doing diminished chords. So I'll do one, and then you guys do the same one, okay? And why don't we stay with our 2D 4 part breath? So, correct? All right. Sometimes it's more challenging going down. Rest, rest, in, in. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to bring it down half a dynamic. All right? Because if you are playing super smooth forte, you might be compressing a little bit, but if it's super smooth mezzo piano with no bumps, then you really know that you've got that work effort way down at a minimum. As I add more notes, I will pick up the tempo just a tad. So here comes the second one. Obviously, when I went from F sharp to A, I did not do the adjustment smoothly enough. It needed to be more straight ahead. And a danger sign is if I feel like, oh man, I really have to play loud to get this next note to come out, right? Another way of putting this is that I would like to play every note with an embouchure that can play the top note, so that there's not a whole lot of adjustment that has to go on here, and there's not a whole lot of push that has to go on here in order to get that top note out. That time my ascending part was better than my descending part. I needed to pay more attention to the very ends of the notes as I descended to make sure that I wasn't going, right? Oh. Your turn, yeah? Yeah. In. In. You can do that and be absolutely smooth as glass. You've really accomplished a lot. So all right, here's the goofy one. People who use Claude Gordon tend to be lead players. As Mel Broyles explained it to me, Claude Gordon is all about getting the trunk of the tree, but no branches or leaves. And that was a strong player, Mel Broyles. You know that name, first trumpet at the Met?
Yeah.
But also look up Earl D. Irons. And I really like, I use the Earl D. Irons book. And those are the kinds of exercises that just go. Right? Yeah. No more than necessary.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. Just as a clarinet player, I've been, you know, so focused on keeping my tongue high in the oral cavity to keep a focused sound.
Yep.
And we just don't do that. So uh-huh. It's just a concept out of my realm of,
yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I guess that's like a terrible trumpet player. It's third space C, it's a good day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, try the thing in the mirror where you go, as opposed to,
okay.
That'll help. So let's do some solo work. Who wants to play?
Aren't we going to try this last one?
Absolutely.
Go
here
for
we
it,
go.
Ben. Just
Ben,
you.
This is your solo.
Let's all play it, Ben.
Am I the only trumpet player here that wants to play that? Come on.
You got the top three notes. I'll play the rest
of it. Go for it.
Here we go.
I don't
even know what those notes are.
Let's do it. Yeah. Oh, it's just all in the diminished. All in the diminished triad. Yeah. Okay. So let's do the quarter note about the speed.
Yeah.
And if possible, we would like the tongue to just keep going up, right, without a whole lot of extra work here.
Was that E flat?
Rest. Sure. Rest.
Send it to everybody. It's low quality. Yeah.